Hi, Mark.
Hey, Jay.
So I was saying before we recorded, we missed 1 week because I was ill, and it feels like it's been 15 months. It's always weird.
A lifetime. It's like the opposite of riding a bike.
Well, I was going to say, you're good.
It's like, what is the internet? What is it? What is a computer?
When I had the original podcast, when I set this podcast up like many, many years ago, and then I was going along for a while, and I was like, I wasn't feeling it. And that was when all the big censorship started happening and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, let's just back away from it for a little bit and see what's going on. And there was many times in the preceding years, I was like, oh, I should just start that up again. Like once things had kind of calmed down, I'm like, okay, we kind of know what this is now and whatever. And
what are you talking about, man?
To a far greater degree than we did, I think, in 2016, and just the thought of starting it up again was like it felt like this enormous task, and all it is just sitting there talking. It's the weirdest thing that you if you break inertia even for a little bit, it's harder to get back. It feels like you're going from ground zero, which is
it's like going to the gym. Like, you know, you could look at it and be like, all I'm doing is like moving around. Why is that so hard? Move around all the time. But there's something about that barrier. Like, no.
That initial thing you have to do to get over it. Man.
That's what I say. That was my old motto back in my modeling days, was just show up. Like, just I was just promising myself, like, you just have to walk in the door. You don't have to do anything. Just walk in the door, walk on a treadmill. And then once you get there, you get on the treadmill. Then the second nature starts to kick in. You're like, you know, I might as well make this hurt a bit. But yeah, showing up is the hardest thing. And so we're here.
Because all the excuses you can make. I was actually thinking about bowing out because I'm still feeling ill because of now I got over the flu, but I have allergies. And Australian allergies are like the insects.
They're just exactly.
Wipe me the fuck out.
Allergies on steroids.
Yeah, so... You know, as I was thinking about like bowing out, and then you sent me that, which we'll get to at the back end of the show, you know, the problem with Christianity article. And I was like, oh no, we're doing one.
That's like, fuck, what did I do?
Fucking Anglicans. We'll get to that. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Down syndrome wins, or do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Let's go there.
I just thought this is just an amusing little thing. It's a little. Get the ball rolling kind of moment. So I'll set this up for the audio listeners. Oh, by the way, we have a Patreon now. If you want to send us money, you can go to our Patreon account. It'll be in the description below. It's at 2-Bit Podcast on Patreon. So you can send us money. We have one subscriber for $5 a month.
Nice. Where's the do it meme? Just do it.
Yeah, just we'll build on that success. $5 a month, folks. You're not gonna break the bank, hopefully.
Sometimes so, Jason writes some stuff.
Sometimes
is it like linked to Substack and all that?
It's
work that you do that I have no part in.
It's doing the same stuff we're doing on Substack. We have a off-brand talk with Tommy Salmons there, which I did about a month ago, where Tommy and I talk about UFC and a whole bunch of other little things. So, well, I'll be posting exclusive content up to Patreon and Substack as well. So if you guys want to go check that out, you're more than welcome. Okay.
Cool.
So this is something that we were discussing in the King Pill Discord. Another thing fans of the show should go check out. It's a good group of guys. But someone brought this up where I'll set this up for the audio listeners. It's a cafeteria. It's a school cafeteria. There's a Down syndrome boy in the back. He flips an empty milk carton and it does a complete full flip. So I'll just set that up. I'll play the video clip and then I'll get to my point with this because I think it's an interesting little point. Oops. Just watch that again. Now, obviously, his response is a bit more exuberant than what most men would do, but all guys, all men, Down syndrome or not, can relate to that feeling. That moment of just like, that was fucking cool. Right? Yeah. Oh,
what? That's how I feel. That's how I feel every time I don't hit the toilet seat.
Right. Or when you like do, you know, you throw a piece of paper, balled a piece of paper, and it lands perfectly in the waste paper basket when you're not even trying. You're like, it feels like a personal win.
Every time my beer can hits the recycle bin.
Perfectly, right?
And you make us big again. I don't need to keep
you having you have an internal yes moment, right? Yeah. This is why there can't be equality of the sexes. Okay. And I'll tell you this, and I'll explain it this way. The Down syndrome kid gets it. Women can't. Women can't understand the same joy that all men feel, regardless if they have Down syndrome or not.
Like, are you saying being a woman is worse than having Down syndrome?
No, I'm saying it's
that's what because I'm sure I'm my name is Rachel What's Her Face, and I'm sure that's what you mean. I'm inferring it.
Yes,
I'm confirming. Inferring is the wrong word.
I'm saying all women have the intellectual have less of an intellectual capacity than Down syndrome boys. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, obviously. Well, that is a very common refrain now, right? They're always like women and blacks, you know, and the disabled, all the same category.
Yeah, because they all share the same problem. They're all fucking retarded. But spicy.
It only hurts because you mean it.
Well, you know, I'm only part joking. I only feel bad about the fucking part. Sorry, Mark's mom. But I'm bringing it back.
Don't.
Bring it back. But yeah, that's my point. You can't have equality of the sexes until women can actually share that same joy. And I guarantee you, I haven't done this experiment, but I guarantee you, you show that video to every single woman on the face of the planet, they'd be like, yeah, so what? You flipped the milk carton over? Like, why is that a big deal?
When you can create life.
Exactly. We don't have that capability.
That's why we love the just
we take like our minute small
victories are astounding to the male sex. Did you see what I did? I threw it and it went like this and then it landed
perfectly
upside up.
Unintentionally.
Achievement unlocked.
Unintentionally, but yet intentionally.
That's it. I think we're always constantly, and from personal experience, I tend to annoy the women in my life to some degree. And it's because of that, always wanting that approval of like, I did a thing, right? Like, and that mattered, right? That was good. And
it's because here's some tractor thoughts. I call them tractor thoughts because these are ideas that come up I get when I'm driving my tractor around. Thank you. It worked. But I forget what spurred the conversation in my head about it, but I said that the main difference between male-centered businesses and female-centered businesses, and why this whole equality of the sexes in
terms there are
of,
female-centered businesses.
There are they go to business really quickly, but they do crop up occasionally. We can make the equality argument like this, right? And I think there's something to it. Where men have created businesses for a long time, men create businesses that are male centric in terms of they work for the male mindset. Therefore, it's harder for women to compete or to succeed in those workplaces because it's kind of set up for men and the men mentality, right?
It's like boys in school,
right? But if a leftist, if the hypothetical leftist is taking that position, then it's like, well, now you're just confirming there's a difference between men and women and how they view success and how they operate in businesses. And it's not just because women had to take breaks to go have kids. I always thought that was a dumb argument. It was more like, no, they fundamentally see the purpose of work and usually what the corporation's doing. And let's say, we'll just say corporations in general, they see that differently. Mm-hmm. Men prioritize things overall. Women prioritize people. So it's actually it's a difference in how they see what is the horse and what is the cart.
Right.
It's not that either one is better than the other. It just simply is a difference. Mm-hmm. So men will build a thing right? Because they say, well, there's a need for this thing, or I can build this thing. And then they worry about how to get it to the people, but how it will serve people, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Women will think of people and then try to invent things for the people.
Yeah.
I'm speaking generally.
Or it's like how men will try to solve problems and women will try to create them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. But it's,
we're so dumb.
Yeah.
Just jokes, people.
That door's gonna
but there's a value to, you know, deconstructing society, right?
Sure. Well, but there is a value to it. Again, look, there's a value in considering the customer. There's a value in considering the people who are involved in this and what their and how their experience is shaping their enjoyment of a product, right? There's a huge value in that, and that's a domain that's very female centric. Whether it's staffed by women or not, it's a very female viewpoint of the world, right? A feminine viewpoint of the world. How is this affecting people?
Right.
Men, the masculine viewpoint is like, how is what is the thing? Like, we build the thing and then we figure out the people that it needs to apply to, you know? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Or you could say like even human resources being a very female take on the idea. Whereas if there were only men, it would be called the you're fired department.
Right. Suck it up, buttercup fucking exactly. Department.
Right? Like, what? Maybe we could think about this and find a way to make you more comfortable and productive in this position.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it comes down to. And look,
we can yes, thank you. Somebody heard it.
Yeah. We can comment or criticize the functionality of any of those systems as much as you want, but the fact is it's not that these things are bad. Like, considering your employees isn't necessarily a bad thing, but
right.
It's just how you do it and how those things are implemented. That's what the open criticism can be. So yeah. I don't know. There's not really much point. This is the opening fluff, folks. This is the, we haven't done a show in a week.
How we do it. Yeah. We're going to get a lot of it tonight. Yeah. So well, I guess we'll do what's called a really clean segue to mine.
Mm.
I thought so. Everybody's going on about the new Snow White movie. Snow Brown.
Snow not white.
Snow.
I guess mulatto snow, right? Mocha snow.
Is that like don't eat brown snow?
Well, but I think they missed the opportunity, right? They cast an Asian lead. It could have been Yellow Snow.
So many jokes.
It's perfect.
Yeah, missed opportunity. This is why Hollywood is dying. That's why they're all on strike, is because they don't have me and Jay writing for them.
Did you see that Disney's now, because the writer strike's still going on, and Disney's now apparently hiring, like, put out the hiring call for AI artists or AI specialists.
Shit.
And it's like something,
yeah, keep
something
it up, guys.
It's something disgusting. Like, I don't want to misquote the number value, but it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars per year kind of job. You know, it's like one of those, like, you might as well be an engineer kind of thing.
Right.
and Bryan Cranston. I won't bother trying to find the clip. It's just an offshoot of it. Apparently, Bryan Cranston was at an ACTRA rally or whatever, because they're still on strike. And
he lost his commie mind.
Yeah, he was shaking his fist, saying like, "We will not be replaced by AI." I was like, "Oh yes, you will. Yes, yeah. Oh yes, yeah. You will."
Yep. Get used to it. Remember when it happened? I wanted to make a tweet about that. Like, first they came for the coal miners, and no one spoke up because you weren't coal miners. Yeah, now it's your turn, bitches. Sorry. And there's no one left to protect you because you.
Well, this is
shit,
the most. So this is the most hilarious thing I've seen, and I didn't put this together until recently. But everyone who has started to cry about AI publicly, and like the big threat of AI, the Sam Harris's and all that stuff, I think it was more like they realized that their jobs are now in peril.
Yeah.
Because they just keep saying the same shit over and over and over again. Like, once you hear one Sam Harris take, you've heard them all essentially. You don't need more than one. And now
it's just lefty build a wall.
Right. Exactly.
That's build all it is.
Yeah. It's the unhuman. It's the unman.
Yeah. Look, guess who the Luddites are now. It's crazy.
Right. So, so now the existential threat for them for AI was like, oh, we can just have AI write these papers now. you're useless. Like, you're less than you, because all you were doing for the longest time was just compiling things anyways.
Yeah. Like, lawyers, doctors, like, okay, now we don't need you to go in the back room and look up shit.
Right.
We have someone better who doesn't get tired or abuse their supply.
And we don't have to pay them, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to do the job.
Yeah, and they're free. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't worry about it.
It's not cool to gloat, but it's karma. Like, sorry, maybe you could have been sympathetic people and you weren't. And we tried to warn you, hey, listen, there's a value to some degree of protectionism and maybe you shouldn't be bigots. And guess what? Now you're joining the pool of people who are disenfranchised. How's it feel?
I think we should replace Mike Bergman says that started with learn to code, didn't it? I think what we should popularize now is learn to pottery.
Get some kilns.
Sam Harris and all those guys, like, learn to pottery. Like, yeah, you know,
learn to juggle. Entertainment.
Maybe a dish.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was listening to Lotus Eaters and they were talking about this. And they were saying, the guy was saying, like, well, you know, if AI starts writing all the scripts, because I think Sargon had said, like, well, you could just, like, write whatever in a year or two, you could just plug it in and be like, I want to watch a movie about the Iliad. And AI can boop, 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 boop. There you go. Watch it. And the guest's criticism was like, yeah, but the human mind is very keen on spotting good fakery. And I was like, yeah, that's called movies. That's what they are. It's fake. And so what's the difference? Wait till AI is better than movies.
Learn to garden. Exactly. And not only that, hang on, let me just stop sharing this.
Or go, it'll revert back to the stage.
Well, this,
like, learn to actually act. People will want, there will be a market for authentic work.
I said this on the show maybe over a year ago somewhere. I know I've commented on this, that I think authenticity will become the new most, like, highly sought out valuable thing. So learn to pottery is funny, it's, you know, clever or whatever, but it's not I'm actually being serious, is that I believe we'll be moving into a future very rapidly where man-made
learn to carpentry,
jewelry, whatever, will actually have a high degree, have a massive value, because there'll be a glut of AI or 3D printed stuff and all that stuff. And at first it'll be a great novel thing, and then it'll wear off, and then it'll be the new prestige thing will be having something man-made, you know,
it'll be humans
doing this.
It'll be vinyl.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Kids want a record player. Like, that's the hip shit.
And vinyl records from back in the day are selling for hundreds of dollars. And you're like, you know, you used to be able to buy this for, like, literally a dollar.
It's like, yeah, they were worthless for a while, right? But it was a blip. And that humanity does automatic, does tend back toward the natural mean. Did we go off Snow White? Do you want to play the clip you had pulled up that we didn't play? Yep.
Okay. Let me know if you have audio on this.
1937. Mm-hmm. And we absolutely wrote a Snow White that
she's not going to be saved by the prince.
She's not going to be saved by the prince, and she's not going to be dreaming about true love. She's dreaming about becoming the leader she knows she can be, and the leader that her late father told her that she could be if she was fearless, fair, brave, and true. And so it's just a really incredible story for, I think, young people everywhere to see themselves in.
Snow White is running for...
Here's what's crazy, right? You know what's crazy? Is that men often dream of conquest and being the leader to get pussy.
Right. That's all the only reason that women don't understand about men.
True love.
Yeah.
Right? Men acquire power to acquire true love. Women, in this inverse fucked up feminist version of this shit, women just acquire power for power. And it's like, well, what are you going to do with that exactly?
Well, they don't know. They don't know why they're chasing it. They don't realize that their power, like, they're born with it. Like, their power is visible right now.
Yeah.
And it's short-lived. So
their power,
make hay while the sun shines.
Their power is that either these two women, if they're pulled over for speeding, could just be like, oh, ha, ha, ha,
oh, they can, they are the most powerful get away that have ever lived right now. They can go to any club, they can go to any job
and get everything. And
doesn't matter.
Everything.
The world literally is like waiting there, being like, what can we give you for free? Anyway, so yeah. my take on this, because I've heard a lot of the criticisms of Hollywood right now, because right now what they're doing, they're like, oh, we took Snow White and we changed the characters, the story and the plot, story and plot are the same thing. What are the three elements? The characters, the story, something else. So what about it is Snow White? I don't know. And so every criticism of Hollywood is like, okay, look at what's the one? Tomb Raider? Not Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones. Star Wars, right? All they're doing is going back to the 80s and 90s, pulling out these IPs and redoing them because they have a lack of creativity, or at least that's the criticism toward it. It's like they're not coming up with new ideas because they're not interesting people. I think it's deeper than that. I don't think there are new ideas. I think there's archetypes.
There never has been,
right? Like there's the story is human, what do you call it? You think memeology, right? Like we look Mimetics. Towards ideals. And so there are two stories, and good movies, good IPs are ones that speak to truth about the human condition, about our desires to pursue something higher, something of virtue, something of value. And the other story is bullshit, negativity, bitterness, envy, right? Virtue and not virtue. And
René Girard believes that the most basic human desire, the true universal prime desire for all humanity is transcendence. Now, he put it in more of a biblical divine sense, which I think is accurate, but transcendence in general is the desire of all humans to transcend one thing into another. And you can bring it in. You could even bring that idea into much more materialistic claims, like a progressive. I think progressives are trying to transcend history. Transhumanism is trying to transcend humanity. You know, we can go down the list. Communism is trying to transcend capitalism.
Work.
You know,
the mortal coil. Yeah.
Functioning.
Things working.
reality.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it, right? That's the ultimate criticism of like left versus right, or at least a really basic way I like to see it is like, is your priority getting your perspective to match reality, or getting reality to match your perspective, which is not possible.
Well,
that's right versus left.
Let's think of the Snow White story, and I'm going off the top of my head here, but Snow White is...
I don't know the story at all, so I can't comment. I'm sure I'm gonna forget my point.
Yeah,
when I brought this whole thing up, because they're all the same story. Look at Star Wars, right? Lord George Lucas. It's there's always the comparisons drawn between Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and I remember my dad telling me that when we watched Star Wars every Christmas Eve every year growing up, and he read me when I was eight and nine the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, and he was explaining like, okay, the one took from the other because it's the same story in the basic thing. It's the hero's journey. And so that's where I got this idea. It's like, no, it is the same story. So Hollywood, it's not that they're bankrupt. What it is they're trying to convince you to watch a story you don't want. If they had made this movie and just called it something else other than Snow White, no one would go see it because no one wants to see this story because it doesn't speak to the hero's journey. It doesn't speak to that transcendence. So what they're doing, it's not like, okay, it's a way of getting butts in seats by ripping off these IPs, but they're not even ripping them off. It's wolf in sheep's clothing. They're saying they're making a movie that's a story that doesn't appeal to anyone, and then they're calling it something else. So it's a sleight of hand. It's a trick. Like, oh no, this is that thing that was true that you did like. Because we called it that, but it's not that, and no one wants to see it, and they know that, which is why they rely on stealing the reputation from things that were virtuous and had value and did appeal to people. That's my thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I think you've nailed multiple nails on the head. Sorry, I'm just trying to... Why is my screen going weird? Where was I going with this idea? Sorry, I distracted myself.
About how smart I am.
Yes,
string of compliments. Smart.
Okay, so the Grimm fairy tale gets a Technicolor treatment, and this is the summary of quick summary Snow of Snow White's story. Jealous,
is it Grimm? Is it who wrote it? Brothers Grimm.
Yeah. Jealous of Snow White's beauty, the wicked queen orders the murder of her innocent stepdaughter, but later discovers that Snow White is still alive and hiding in a cottage with seven friendly little miners. Disguising herself as a hag, the queen brings a poisoned apple to Snow White, who falls into a death-like sleep that can only be broken by a kiss from the prince. Okay? So, that's the story. And I'm sure Jonathan Pageau, someone brought up Jonathan Pageau. Jonathan Pageau is actually releasing a Snow White, his own version. Well, not his version. It's a, you can check, go Google that, Jonathan Pageau Snow White. It's a book he's releasing.
Like a reinterpretation or a going
back? I think it's a classic interpretation. I think it's a classic interpretation. It's a classic version of the story, and just with new art and so on. Hmm. So at the basic thing of that story, right, symbolically speaking, is an older woman who's jealous of a younger woman who tries to essentially kill or, you know, remove that young woman from her. You know, so that it's that mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all.
Or right. You could say, like, steal her virtue. So the analogy there is really interesting, because the overlay of the actual, what the villain in Snow White was doing to Snow White and what Disney is doing to Snow White are basically a one for one.
All même chose. But here's the thing, right? That story, the basic of that story, older woman jealous of younger girl, right? You know, that mm-hmm. that story beat is universal. Everyone can understand that. Everyone, you may not be able to relate to it on your personal life, but you can conceptually understand it, right? Like jealousy, human mm-hmm. jealousy, mimetic rivalry, if you put it in a Girardian sense, right? Baseline, easy to understand stuff. That's why the story survived for what? Grimm's Fairy Tale. So, like, over 100 years, 200 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's early 1900s, I believe.
Right. Well, it survives in its actual form, and it survives in retellings of you can just change certain things. You could tell that story in a completely modernized version of that story in 2023, keeping pretty much everything. It's sort of a mirror, it's your AI phone,
yeah, you know, or like Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. You can take it, change right. the setting and the stories. If you keep the story, the truths remain.
Exactly. And everyone could connect to that story. That's the narrative strength. The biggest problem with leftist propaganda media, right, is that they're starting from a premise that is actually not transferable across time. It's only understandable within a certain population who's been educated by, gone through the university system in the West, that kind of thing, right? Outside of that, women aren't thinking this. Like, it's right. not a universal story.
Yeah.
And women may or may not be thinking this along those lines in 20 years from now, or 30 or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's something that only conforms to an ideological perspective that has to be put into people. It's not something that's inherent in the human condition.
And we know that that's true. And we know that that's true.
Everyone hates it.
Because the Soviet propaganda machine, which was immense, far greater than anything we could really understand for its time, didn't survive the Soviet Union. It collapsed with the Soviet Union. Western propaganda.
I don't know. I think what we're experiencing is the bastard child.
It's lazy. It's all it is.
Yeah. He's an inept bastard child, but I think it is a bastard child. I think it is a detached offspring. You know, like the tree died, but there was a root left over that sprouted, and that we're kind of dealing with that. That's at least a part of it. That's my
very Lyshenko of you.
Oh yeah, there were several roots tied together.
Go quick.
Not any fasci.
Go feed China.
What is that? Or not.
Or not. Anything else you want to talk about Snow White?
No, that was it. It's my take on the thing, but I like it.
Let's go through chat here. Man, so why it says communism is trying to get back to primitive communal living. No, that's not true. I can understand why you think that.
That's what I thought when I was 22.
Right.
Not 22, 20 as well. I don't know if you're 20, but when I was 20, I thought that. No, yes, some, and I always said this, that there is a form of communism that I don't object to. It's called a kibbutz. It's small. It's voluntary, and it must. What's the word for like an animal that lives off another animal? Not a parasite, but a.
Oh, that's parasite.
Yeah. Okay, so it must parasite on a capitalist system because it has to trade with something that does have a profit motive in order to produce abundance. But you can, if you want. No one's stopping you and your friends from going and buying some land. Anywhere you want, and building a shack, living in it, sharing your labor, and you still will have to sell your goods or trade them, but trading is selling. It's the same thing. That's possible, but it's got to be small and voluntary. Communism is when it needs to be the whole system by force, and that doesn't work, and that's not sharing.
Ben says, as you mean the ones that are heavily subsidized.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Those ones. Yeah, I didn't say it doesn't need to be subsidized. That's actually a crucial element.
And we're not even saying not productive. And we're not certainly saying it's favorable or good.
Yeah, it's just not evil. Not the same kind of evil as the top down statewide one. Go run your shitty farm that doesn't make profit. No one's stopping you.
I just read a report. I was going to maybe do it for the show. Well, maybe we'll do it next week. There's a micro state that's getting some. Got some press. Some guy bought like a whole bunch of acreage in the Arizona desert, and he calls it Slack Manistan, I believe. And you can join, you can become a member of the state. It's called a micronation, and so he wrote a letter to the United States government saying we declare sovereignty from the United States government. However, you know, don't send the army, we're not doing anything. You can actually do this technically. Too. Yeah, there was an international treaty signed in Montevideo, I believe in the 19th century, that defines statehood, like defines what is a state, what is considered a sovereign state. And it says, off the top of my head, it's you have to have a standing population, you have to have a defendable geographical border. There's two other things too, I can't remember right now. But they're pretty easy to have. Like you just buy some land, say, here's my border, here's my population. Oh, I think it was one of those is the willingness and ability to trade with others, right? Mm.
And I think believe because of I'm thinking automatically of places like Quebec and Scotland, you'd have to actually win a referendum and show that the majority of the people are for it.
You don't even have to do that.
Really?
Technically, you could just go. You could. There's one semi-famous one off the coast of the UK where they just got like a barge.
Yeah, right. I've heard of that. The free just, Radio Free Europe, the guys.
No, it's a different one, but similar concept. They have a barge and they just declared sovereignty. They're just like, this is a sovereign nation. Like, we have a geographic location. We can have defendable borders. We have a standing population, and we're willing and open to do trade or negotiations. I forget the exact thing. It may not be trade, but like.
Yeah,
cooperation with other nations or something like that.
But why even pursue statehood? Like, if you look at the kibbutz model, like that's irrelevant. If what all you want is the commune to share, to go share,
it's legitimizing. It's legitimizing. You can't. If the majority of the world includes states, you can't be a stateless society. It's you actually limit yourself in terms of. You would need an influx of stateless societies in order to be viable because no one would take you seriously because they don't have to. I just did this on Twitter recently. There's some libertarian posting. He's like, oh, all the arguments against libertarians is a straw man. I'm like, you can disprove libertarianism by simply not believing in it. He's like, what? This fractured thing? I'm like, no. Okay. I'm like, okay. Make me believe in libertarianism.
Right. If it's based on not using force, then you can't make someone abide by it, right?
That's
it's defeated on its onset. Yeah.
I just don't have to believe, not only that, but you also have no, there's no inroads in politics. Like here in Australia, if you're a citizen of Australia,
politics is force, right? So how do you,
it's partly force, right? Like,
well, if you want to win, if you want to maintain power,
if you want to be legitimate, if you want to be considered legitimate. So in Australia, you can get fined and technically go to prison for not voting.
Right. I heard that.
So you have to vote in elections or else you can get fined. Now, I don't know how the occurrence of that or how common that is or whatever have you, but legally, right? That's a rule in the books. So you have to vote. You have
That's every
Yeah, like every citizen. Yeah, it was just I'm not on visa, but
okay. Yes,
if I got Australian citizenship, the only reason I wouldn't get Australian citizenship is so I just technically wouldn't have to vote. The only reason I would get Australian citizenship, and I will at some point, a dual citizenship, is because for all the other reasons,
right?
For like not getting deported for bullshit. Like I want to give them, like, they can still deport me, obviously, if they want to, but I want to give them like one extra hurdle. if you're going
to
do
it, at least like add some element of difficulty to getting rid of Jason.
Right.
No, but that reminds me, I was listening to the Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy Twitter space before we came on, and Vivek was talking about how America was different because they rejected tyranny and they embraced democracy and said, you know what? Because he was saying that he believes people are smart, and that's why America succeeded, because they gave the power to the people. And I was like, no, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They did not give the power to the people. America's not was not a democracy, and you can literally draw like a one-to-one correlation between the franchise and the demise.
Yeah.
They gave the fact that was America was very specific about who got to fucking vote. And that's when they took over the world.
It was a pretty easy one too, is that you had to own land.
Right. Envy Christian and male, but those obvious.
Well, the only people who were allowed to own land.
Exactly. So there's no, thing we so can get into that.
I mean actually that was a kind of also part of their downfall though, because that gave this room for feminists to go. Cause a lot with the whole, women's suffrage movement, at least in the States, started from a lot of widows and daughters who inherited their father. They're the sole inheritance. There were no sons or whatever have you. They would inherit their father's properties and be like, well, hang on a second. I own all this land. I own land. My husband died. He willed it all to me. I own all this land. And you're telling me we have this insanely wealthy ranch or whatever it is, and you tell me I can't vote or have influence? Fuck you, right?
Mm-hmm. There's an argument there. Again, the
perfectly fine argument.
Yeah. Well, the counterpoint would be, great, go die in a war. You're not going to get conscripted. But I can understand, if you do own land, if you do have wealth, you should have a right to vote over who gets to steal it from you. Right. Yeah, to me, that's why I'm a proponent of that system, because if you give authority over something to people that aren't invested in it, it's going to disappear pretty quickly. Right? Things that aren't earned are always taken for granted and abused. So if you want a system to be self-propagating and have some amount of endurance, you want the people in charge of it to be invested in it.
I'm going to say something that might disenfranchise me with a lot of distant right people.
Sorry, I'm getting a bad storm here and it might blow down my windows. Go ahead.
Is that I don't care about gender or race or sexuality is a separate thing, but gender and race don't matter to me. It's in terms of, there are two genders and there are a set amount of races, right?
But they do exist.
But they do exist. Of course. Yeah, yeah.
So you're Nazi. Yeah.
Yes, I am a Nazi, but I'm a kinder, gentler Nazi, in this sense, right? Is that the only thing that really matters is principles. Is do you live by principle, and do your principles produce good fruit? Hmm. If the answer is yes, then it doesn't really matter. I mean, to a degree, right? Who what the makeup of that society is. The important thing is there a really good way of gatekeeping and enforcing those principles? If there isn't, then you will go into, you'll get, you'll open the doorway to corruption and you will go into decline. There's, that's just it, right? So women owning land and therefore having a right to vote in that kind of form of democracy isn't the problem. The problem is democracy. We could go back to a monarchist, landlord, feudalistic kind of system. The only problem with that, though, is opportunity for other people to advance into landlord status. If those things become too based on principle, right, not based on heritage, that's the issue, right? For a
Jake,
long
can you
time,
talk for 30 seconds? I got to close these windows because there's water coming right
I
in
can
my
talk
room.
Talk for 35 seconds.
Okay, go.
Then this gets into the Vivek Ramaswamy. I'll circle this around. so fundamentally, you. We lived off the fat of the land, off the fat of a culture that was that was Christian, that was devoutly Christian, then went through different schisms, and denatured the quality of that Christian message to the point where we are today, where now we have Christian porridge. That doesn't make sense. This is
a Christian porridge?
Yeah, I'm calling it Christian porridge.
Oh,
or spiritual porridge. Well, let's call it, my interest is more Christian than anything else, but it's becoming this sort of like hodgepodge soup where it's just like the only thing you come out of it is love. Like it's love. It's all about love, man. Yeah. Come on, love. It's like, is that's all it's about. So as a practicing Orthodox Christian, I have daily prayer rules and rituals and fast at least 2 days a week. And you think that's all about love? Like, no, it's about a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a lot of things. And I'd gotten an argument with, I get in arguments with lots of people on Twitter with these in what these leftists who are doing what, in my opinion, is blasphemy. I remember growing up, like, thinking about, why is swearing bad? And like, well, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. I was like, what does that mean? Like, someone's got to explain this to me in a practical way that I could understand being a bad thing. And just saying Jesus Christ to me doesn't mean anything. What it means is invoking God's authority without his permission.
Yep.
So if you're going to talk to me and said, well, actually Jesus says you should do X, Y, Z and you're full of shit, that's blasphemy.
Yep.
That's my opinion. And I'm the only one I know who has had that interpretation of it. And I think we should propagate it to the world.
Oh, that's just the Orthodox commonly. That's the Orthodox stance. That's the Orthodox stance.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, see there. For all I know, I'm fucking Orthodox, like, just because I like to make things make sense for me to follow them.
You will convert.
I don't believe in conversion.
Well, you'll know. Actually, you won't convert. You'll have a revelation, and you will be one of us soon. Mike Bergman says, what do you guys think of Vivek Ramaswamy? He sounds all right, but there is no way he isn't part of a PSYOP. Someone just posted this on Twitter. I thought was smart. I think it was about in reference to that Twitter Spaces.
Mm.
He was basically saying, like, Vivek feels like he was created in a lab.
Yeah.
To be the Elon Muskovite.
Luciferian.
Like young boomer. Populist, mildly Republican, right wing because they have no choice, disaffected liberal, essentially. Candidate.
I still like the term that I always use, which is the Luciferian, but not in the sort of traditional Christian sense, but in terms of pro human flourishing. He doesn't really have a moral standpoint on anything. He's like, let's all make money and not be dicks. And I was thinking about today, I was like, listen, if we got, because politics is what politics is. And I don't like being utopianist about any of it. That's my thing against libertarianism, I think even Christo-fascism, whatever it is. I mean, I always hear like the argument, like, well, democracy's failed. That's they're stupid. Libertarianism is stupid because it could never work. It's like, well, we had monarchies and they all failed too. So I don't think there is a system that isn't prone to failure because that's what politics is. We're not God, we're humans and our systems suck. So get over that any type of utopianism and be okay with the fact that it is a matter of the less bad. And it was like, if I could live in a world where Vivek is the Republican and RFK is the Democrat, I'm not going to go home crying about that. I'd be like, yeah, fine, good. That's a great bad system.
Yeah. Oh, look, and this is prepping. This is, again, priming the pump. We'll get to the we'll segue this into Christian thing.
we'll get to the thumbnail at some point, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So my final thoughts about Vivek. Again, this was discussed. I'm looking to see if Darren jumps into this. Darren, who's a friend of the show, has very strong feelings about the viability of Vivek. And I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. And this is why it's not going to happen. Why he will not be, even if Trump goes to jail, they have him in, they put him away in federal prison, Epstein watch, that kind of thing. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to say it right now. Trump didn't kill himself.
Damn it. You beat me to it.
But even if they do that, right? It's not going to be Vivek Ramaswamy, because his name is Vivek Ramaswamy.
We had a Barack Hussein. Come on.
Bullshit. No. Barack Hussein Obama. No. It's not about the ethnicity of the word, of the name. How many syllables are in the name?
More than three. It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen in America. Ramaswamy.
Four. Yeah, fucked.
Nope.
Vivek
two. Can't have more than two.
Barack Obama three. One. He's one syllable over the line.
But Obama technically is three, right? Yeah. But it kind of comes out as two, really. And you can kind of say it just
no, it's Obama.
Yeah, Obama was the one, but you can kind of say it like it's a mouthful. It's a one singular bite. Obama. Yeah,
whereas Vivek Ramaswamy sounds like 17.
Fuck you, never gonna happen. Yeah. Never gonna happen.
It's like that one extra syllable. No
never
political happen. Career.
Never.
Nope. RFK Jr. 5. Yeah. But what, but can't what go over 5.
No, but no. But no one's going to call him that. They're going to call him RFK.
Mm-hmm.
JFK, RFK Sr., RFK Jr. They might call him RFK Jr., but those call him RFK. Right?
Or crazy.
Or yeah. Or crazy. We're going to be doing
knowing American politics as well as we do, you're probably right. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, I guarantee
six syllables ruins it.
Man could come out with the greatest policy in the world, right? With golden goose in every house.
Then explain
with the actual possibility
two syllables.
Not going to happen.
Donald Trump. No, that's why.
You know why? Here's the other thing too. Everyone else defers to him. Like if they can't say his name, or you get sick and tired of saying Ramaswamy because it's a mouthful. They just defer to Hindu guy, and there's a problem because you're going to have Hindu guy running for the election. No, never going to happen. Stop it.
Yeah, it's true. He is Hindu. We just call him. Go back to India.
You know, before we segue into the Christian right has lost touch with its true values of the religion piece. I will put this out. We're doing August 11th. Yeah, August 11th, circle your calendars. We'll be doing RFK, Friend or Fed, with special guests, Jean-Francois Gatapi and Colin from Counterpoints. LB Muniz will be rejoining us on the show as well. So,
all right, exciting lineup. Good one. Yeah.
Right? Okay. So, let's get to this. Oh, I got to pee so bad.
I'm there with you, brother.
I'm going to get through this. Okay.
All right.
This is the article that I said that I was like kind of hemming and hawing about doing a show today because I'm not feeling
me too.
And then you sent me this. Oh. I'm like, oh no, now we have to because fuck this guy. So this is an opinion piece from the Globe and Mail. The Christian right has lost touch with the true values of their religion. Written by Michael Corin, who is an Anglican priest, and his latest book is The Rebel Christ. So.
Okay, so I two things. I looked into this guy, and the first thing I saw was he's apparently famous in Canada. He's written for all of our sort of standard MSM type outlets.
You don't have to go further than Anglican.
Well, okay, I don't know anything. What is Anglican?
Anglican is the commercial is a more universal word for Church of England, right? Church of England, mm-hmm. Anglican, the same thing. So
Anglo, can
so Protestant denomination that. The Anglicans are kind of known for trying to keep general Roman Catholicism and marry it with Protestantism, like try to keep best of both worlds kind of thing. So they're not, they're more, they're, let's say they're closer
so
to
like Catholics. Unitarian United Church, like those, like, let's just all get along.
And they're becoming that, basically, because I mean,
how much can we water this down?
They're certainly closer to the Roman Catholics than, let's say, a Lutheran is, but they also end up doing some stupid shit. Like, I'm trying to find it here. Well, this is pretty telling. Oh. But where is the? Here you go. They have female priests.
No.
Right. Well, the majority of the 41 provinces, the Anglican Communion ordained women as priests, and many have removed all barriers to women becoming bishops. Some have taken formal or informal steps to provide pastoral care and support for those who cannot, in conscience, accept the ministry of women as priests and bishops. So there's your first order of not Christian. How about transgenderism, right? Because we're going to touch on that in this article, or at least LGBT skittles shit. The Church of England has, this is Anglican, has appointed its first transgender archdeacon in a move hailed by LGBT plus campaigners as a beacon of light and hope. Reverend Canon Dr. Rachel Mann has been appointed Archdeacon of Bolton and Salford, is now believed to be the most senior trans member of the clergy within the church. There's other ones in Australia. There's a whole bunch of them. They're openly accepting of.
Okay. So back to my original take, which was that they are legitimized blasphemy. Wolves in sheep's clothing type deal.
Here's a few statements you can take to the bank. Okay. You cannot be Christian and be pro trans. You can't do it. And it doesn't work on another way you look at this, okay? If you accept the trans version of it, that you're born in the wrong body, that means God can make errors, therefore not God.
Beautifully and wonderfully made and born in the wrong body.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
So if God makes
errors... Is that the phrase, beautifully and... I think I'm getting it wrong. Beautifully and wonderfully? Something like that. Very, very poetic.
Yeah, if born this way... Right, even with homosexuality, born this way, that means God makes errors, so he's no longer God. Okay, first order of business. Second thing, you can go the other way.
Come on, God made the devil.
Well, hang on, no, he didn't. Uh-oh. God allowed the devil; he didn't make him. So then you can go the other direction and go, hang on a second. So, but I mean, God, deaf, blind, kids, Down syndrome kids, all that kind of stuff are born. Obviously, not the God creates sickness. If you want to go from that,
is disease a mistake or
right, right. So then you can go from that position, but then try to say that out loud to trans activists. So are you going to compare transgenderism to leprosy?
Right, to an illness.
Please.
It's not. It's wrong, but it's not wrong, and it's good, but it is bad, and you have to change it because it's perfect. It's very logically coherent.
Go make that statement out loud and see the responses, please. I dare you. I double dog dare you to compare transgenderism to blindness or Down syndrome,
or God forbid, mental illness.
And just see what happens. We'll wait over here and check it out. So either way, you're fucked, right?
That's the whole thing is a Mott and Bailey, right? Any criticism is hate.
The only worldview that works within a Christian framework on this is that man's sin creates these derivations, creates these issues. And that also, and this is from the Orthodox perspective, that God creates the avenue for suffering. God allows suffering in order for us to learn and to confront our own sins, right? Only through suffering can we essentially get better. Mm-hmm. We have to go through suffering in order to confront our sins and ourselves. That's Christianity, and that's it. Like, you don't have to be Orthodox to believe that. It's just that's laid out pretty clearly. Even as an atheist, I understood that. I rejected it, but like, I was like, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where we get into the problem with Anglicanism. Everyone tends to attack the low hanging fruit of like Mormonism and some more extreme
Protestantism in general,
charismatics, talking in tongues and all that shit. The Anglicans tend to just don't get addressed, and I don't like. I mean, I have family members who are Anglican, so I won't speak ill of them, but I don't like the Anglican church. I think this is the church of Henry VIII, right? Hmm. Henry VIII? Yeah.
That's like my perspective on the Catholic Church was it's just a state down way
sure,
of enforcing.
At least with the Catholics, there is,
there are some values. I'm not going to knock the whole thing. It's better than a lot of other isms, but
yeah, it's still more closely aligned to the let's say the actual message of Christ than all the other derivations possible. But yeah, Anglicisms are tisms. Okay, let's read this, I'll go off.
We will pee at some point tonight.
Oh, it's so bad. this don't bring it up. See, yeah, I was doing fine until you said it. Now that's all I'm thinking about. This month in 1944, Jane Haining died in Auschwitz. The name
right Jane off Haining. The bat. It's like, you know, it's a valid criticism. This is the problem is we're going to be 2 hours on this one-page article. You know it's a valid criticism of Christianity when the first sentence has the word.
Remember the Jews?
Yeah.
This month in 1944, Jane Haining died in Auschwitz. The name may not mean anything to you, but it should. The Scottish Presbyterian missionary moved to Hungary in the 1930s to teach mainly Jewish children. Reminds me of a joke. My cousin's half Jewish, half Presbyterian. We call him a pissy Jew. Moved to Hungary in the 1930s to teach mainly Jewish children, not to convert them, just to care and love. How could you teach mainly Jewish? You're teaching Jewish children. You're a Presbyterian. You're Christian. Teaching Jewish children, but you're not trying to convert them.
Yeah, you love them, but you don't care if they burn in hell.
Right.
That's basically the take on that. If I know anything about Presbyterians,
well, yeah,
they're pretty stringent about that stuff.
Yeah, if any other denomination, I might be like, I might go with that.
Right.
But yeah, you know, as a Baptist, I'd be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. Fine, maybe. But here, just go in the bathtub a lot. Just why are you taking baths a lot? Just take a lot of baths.
Plug your nose for this bath. Yeah.
Rubber ducky, you're the. She refused to leave them when the war started, and after the Nazis occupied Budapest, she knew their inevitable fate and hers. She ended her last letter with the words, "There's not much to report here on the way to heaven." She was 47 years old. Naturally, she stands out as a martyr of pristine righteousness. That's a hell of a statement, but okay. Yeah. But when we look at so much that is said and done in today in the name of Christianity,
so many things are done in the name of Christianity today. Can you even keep up?
Like your whole fucking church.
It's basically the Crusades that we're living through.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is an Anglican saying this. So right. this is right. A church.
Nothing like valid self-criticism.
An entire church created just to allow for divorces. That was the whole point.
No, was that it? I'm sick of this. Someone who's gonna
didn't want to deal with social consequences of divorce. Here's a new church. Here's what you are. The juxtaposition is scorching. The faith that motivated Jane Haining was founded by a man. I love this too. Founded by a man. Oh, really? A man.
Mm.
Jesus was a man, was he? Was founded by a man who preached justice, forgiveness, kindness, equality, and grace, and whose harshest words were reserved for the powerful, judgmental, and wealthy, seems to be hijacked by malice and hysteria. Okay, this is the one I want to unpack, because fuck all these things.
Yeah, because okay, I've read the Bible.
No, so I remember before I have on the back shelf there I have Orthodox Survival Guide by Father Seraphim Rose, and I remember before reading it, my initial thoughts of the Trinity was like, the Trinity seemed to me to be sort of a theological nitpick, right? There's a Trinity, there's a Filioque, there's a this, that, like, what's the big deal, right? And I remember reading it, getting it, accepting it, moving on, right? The one of the many, God being in three forms, you know, mm-hmm. the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all being of one essence, but three energies, all those things, right? Like the created and non-created. I just kind of got it and didn't argue with it and moved on. And I don't want to get into a deep theological position here.
We've discussed it before, and I say, like, it's one of those things I don't talk about. Because I'm like, either, so you, I, my perspective on it is I can feel it and I'm not going to articulate it.
Here's the point of it, right? Is up until I was reading Father Seraphim, I had kind of just accepted, just thought it was a theological nitpick. And then I became aware that it's like, oh, no, this is vitally important. If you don't understand the Trinity, you don't understand Christianity. And everything else you do is wrong. It's like the fractal error number one. So the idea that he can say, first of all, that he said man in lowercase when talking about Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. Like, Christ is God. God is Christ in this instance.
Well, that's kind of like the whole idea of Christianity.
Right.
It's kind of like, that's the thing.
And if you're going to
bypass that one, we're talking about a different subject.
If you don't get that, and your whole thing is the Christian right has lost touch with the true values of the religion, it's like you don't understand fucking your religion. Like, you don't understand the cornerstone, the thing that makes your religion religion. Like, the thing that makes your religion true, the Trinity, you don't get that.
Right.
And everything else out your mouth is going to be garbage now. Because it's like you're invoking the name Christ to legitimize all the other horseshit.
Yeah, it's like saying communism just means sharing.
Right. Just means sharing.
Real force.
I mean, if people don't want to share, well, we got to do something with that, right? I mean, what are we going to do? Like,
Communism just means voluntary exchange.
No, communism is the righteous fight against fascism.
Right. Yes, of course. Okay, let's continue.
Okay.
We're still in the boring part, folks. Sorry.
No, you're right.
I take it back.
It's a generalization, of course. Huh, is it really? As there are still myriad Christians who participate in the great grand dance of collective goodness, this means nothing.
Oh, yeah, wait, no, sorry. Go back. I want to go back to the last sentence before when he says Jesus talked against the powerful.
Whose harshest words were reserved for the powerful, judgmental, and wealthy. Wrong. His harshest words, where he said, I will come with a freaking sword, right, to smack down your shit, was against, sorry, YouTube, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Right. Who we called hypocrites.
People who were selling indulgences and having temple prostitutes at temple.
Basically blasphemers. People who were under the cloak of religious purity selling bullshit.
Invoking the name of God.
And
incorrectly.
And the actually, I don't think it was Jesus who said it. Was it anyone who leads one of the young astray is better off with a millstone tied around their neck? Was that Jesus? I think it's in Matthew. So yeah, people who misrepresent God were the people he talked about the most, and it was directed towards the church.
Yeah,
the whatever the Pharisees were. I'm not going to get into it.
And also, anything that Jesus said about wealthy was more like wealthy people who are abusing or not helping other people.
No, I'm pretty sure the exact words towards Caesar were "Give him what's his."
Right, or
and he was the wealthiest, most powerful person on earth.
And if you turn around and who was that the tax collector, the guy who was stealing from the taxes, who then turned around and gave back all the money and 10 times the amount, and was saying there's a story there. I think there's tons of stories where it's like it's not about your wealth, it's what you're doing with it. That matters. If you use it correctly, if you use it judiciously and help people instead of harming them, you're good.
Jesus was always sort of ambivalent. He was like, it doesn't matter at all. Throw it in the fucking ditch for all I care, but it doesn't matter if you have it either. What matters is if you're righteous.
Right.
All right, continue.
So it's a generalization, of course. There are still major Christians who participate in the great grand dance of collective goodness. Fuck you. As a priest, I see it every day and also observe generous and emphatic statements and actions from so many church leaders. I would love to hear who church leaders you're talking to. But then there's the rest and how loud and numerous they appear. The dark obsessions and deranged conspiracy theories concerning the pandemic, plots of world domination.
the WEF does not exist.
And the alleged war on freedom.
Oh,
Zelensky's not imprisoning priests.
No.
Yeah. Zelensky's not
imprisoning or Canada. Priests. We have the guy in Calgary, Paul
Church burnings.
Polish guy.
Church burnings happening all over Canada and the West. That's not happening. No. That's just climate change, folks.
Just spontaneously combusting due to the amount of rain.
The alleged war on freedom, the grotesque abuse of the LGBT community. Okay, I want to speak about this for a second.
Just to reiterate, these are things he's accusing the church of.
Accusing far right wing members, Christians of, to be
right. Fair. The problem is that the right wing has taken over the church.
Right.
And so the church needs to get back to its communist roots. Right.
The grotesque abuse of the LGBT community and the attempting and sometimes succeeding in reversing women's rights over their own bodies. So he's basically saying pro-gay, pro-abortion. Okay. Again, not Christian. This is not Christian. You can't be pro-abortion and Christian. You can't. You can have a different religion. Instead of believing in God, you can believe in Bob. And Bob
loves abortion.
Can be whatever you want him to be. And Bob is pro everything, man. He's let it fly, because it's all just about happiness and goodness and love. That's all it's all about. Just feel good. Feel good about shit. If you feel good, if you're vibing, Bob's happy. Bob just wants you to vibe with it, man. Right? Have that religion. That's your religion now. You believe in Bob. And, you know, do what you want to do.
There is a
thing. I believe in
that whole episode, and I do like the title. Same deal, right? What was the term I used? The skin suit?
Right.
This is the Christianity skin suit.
Yeah, it's why I say it's porridge, right? It's just like you're extracting the most muddled version, basic bitch kind of story about it.
Opposite and calling it right. The thing. This is the different story. It's not the same story. Just because you're calling it Christian doesn't make it Snow White. This is yellow snow.
I'm an Orthodox Christian. Yes, this is the yellow snow, right? I'm an Orthodox Christian. What I believe is that when we die, we are enveloped in God's love. And the sins we bring with us, the sins that we are attached with, will burn in God's love. So hell is literally not going to a place. You're in heaven, but the more attached you are to horrible sins that you cannot let go of, will burn you.
Right.
So you will burn in God's absolute divine love.
Yeah,
that's what we believe in.
The best analogy I heard, which I think aligns with that perfectly, is take a sober person and put them in rehab. It's a vacation. And take an addict and put them in rehab. It's hell.
Right.
So one for one analogy that I was like, bang, that's it. If your vices have taken over your life, being in the presence of holiness will burn. It's that simple.
In the more Eastern rites, the more Slavic rites, the lack of suffering in your life is viewed as a lack of God's grace. So if you're not actively suffering, you're not in communion with God. That's the more Eastern.
That's why marriage is a sacrament.
Is that freaking hellscape? Daily affirmations. Okay. And for the secularist who's hearing this, like, well, that's not, you're not selling it. You're not making this attractive. Like, yes, I know.
Yeah, that's the
whole
point.
Supposed to. Yeah. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to be transformative. It's not supposed to be fun. it is what it is.
It's the gym.
Yeah.
Sorry, fatso.
Here's my point about it. And I was had this conversation with my wife earlier, because I was telling her, I can't remember how this came up. I'm not happy. I don't believe in happiness. I don't like happiness. I'm distrustful of happiness. I want joy and I want sorrow. I would rather have
dear bipolar
one moment of absolute joy, right? Of absolute transcendental, transformative joy than 1,000 days of just like low key happiness. Because to me, happiness is like, happy. Like, yeah, okay. I'm not, you know, it's happiness. It just means like I'm not sad, really, which is fine. That's a decent default status. I'm not saying you should be sad, but But I don't get it. I don't get why people, I want to just be happy. I'm like, I don't fuck your happiness.
I always see emotions as like, it's just the duality. Like, okay, right. Have whatever extreme. I'm this guy. Like I don't feel anything right in the middle.
Yeah, let's
as long as Bob's about property rights, that's all that matters. All right, let's keep going. Let's get through this.
This next paragraph is very telling. The libeling of opponents as pedophiles. So again, he's detailing all the far right extremist positions that some Christians have. You know, those damn Christians being Christian. The libeling of opponents as pedophiles. Believe me, I've been accused countless times. Hey, Mark. How many times have you been accused of being a pedophile?
I have to think about that because there's so many. I can't count them.
Could you put a number value?
It's countless.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say
there aren't
zero.
Enough numbers.
Right. It's so many exist. Numbers. It's actually nil.
Yeah. It's pi.
Now maybe because he's a priest, right? And people are confusing him and saying he's a priest.
No, but that's not a Catholic thing. Is that an Anglican thing? Apparently it's an Anglican thing. But I mean, traditionally, is it an Anglican thing?
I wouldn't normally, but maybe people are, you know, it's sort of like, it's like,
it's me thinks thou doth protest.
It's like Sikhs getting beaten up after 9/11. They're just like, anyone brown will do kind of thing.
priest. Orthodox.
So I'm just like, why would you get why would you get accused countless of times for being a pedophile? That's interesting. Yeah. And the advancing of the most nauseating ideas, ranging from support for Vladimir Putin and his family values.
Do it in scare quotes, family values.
Yeah. Like, again, Vladimir Putin.
Like
Vladimir Putin.
Babies.
Vladimir Putin, Orthodox Christian, who declared Russia an Orthodox Christian state.
Yeah. Far right evil.
To adoration of Donald Trump as the only man who can save us from liberals, communists, and atheists who are apparently behind every corner. Now, okay,
that I agree with because that's retarded.
Well, but regardless, that's a political statement, not a Christian statement. The fact that Christians can also hold political statements that may be for antithetical of the religion is that's a individual issue, not a Christian issue. Like. Well, I'll get into symposia hopefully by the end of this, but it reminds me of when Cyprian and I fell out a few months ago, and he was making some blanket statements about people being for or against Orthodox people being for or against the death penalty in Florida or something like that, and he was going after a buddy of ours, Josiah, and he made a very kind of shitty statement, which is like
shout out Josiah.
And he made the statement that threw me off was he saying that if you're pro death penalty, you're not, you can't be an Orthodox Christian.
I saw that. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Okay. At best, what you can say is that the death penalty in Orthodox Christianity, the ideal of Orthodox Christianity is antithetical to death penalty. You can make that statement, which doesn't hold up historically, but okay. Let's say you make that statement. And then if you're an Orthodox Christian, you'll have to think into that. That's one thing to say. To say that you're not a Christian or believing the death penalty is a whole different thing, right? And again, if you're he's a pastor. So if anything, writing this seems to me
I thought you were talking about Cyprian.
This guy, Michael Korn, is a priest.
He's a reverend or whatever.
Whatever they call it. I don't care.
His fake church.
So shouldn't he should be giving pastoral love to his
congregation,
regardless of their political views. Like that doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. In fact, that's a whole render unto Caesar what is his, render unto God what is his. That's the whole premise of that whole position, which is like, that's material stuff, man. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Do what they need to,
it
what
has
you need
nothing
to do
with what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. And nothing at all.
Let's keep going. Is there more? Let's go.
Nor is the amount of nonsense confined to social media platforms, since some of these ideas have entered public debate and what was once the preserve of fundamentalist ghetto has punched his way into provincial
fundamentalist ghetto. Okay, yeah. Hey, you're talking about my childhood brother.
Yeah, hey, you're talking about our people. You know, like, yeah, blue collar communities all over the world.
Is he comparing my childhood to the Holocaust?
Yeah, the 1980s, 1980s Saint Michel Boulevard in Montreal, where none of these ideas. If you showed up and you're just like, if you showed up one day as a man and said, "I'm a girl now," you'd get the shit beat out of you. That idea would get you would get reconfirmed really quickly. Like, you'd be like, maybe you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, Jesus,
that's not gonna
work real fast.
And what was once the preserve of the fundamentals of ghetto has punched its way into provincial, state, and even federal centers of power. Witnesses some of the rulings in the U.S. over abortion, the banning of books from schools and libraries, pornography towards children, and organized hostility to trans rights. Again, you cannot be Christian and a trans activist. You can't. Sorry, it doesn't work. Father Turbo once said recently, you can't be Orthodox and a Zionist. I would say you can't be a Christian and a Zionist. I'll make a more blanket statement. You can't claim to be Christian and be pro-trans. Doesn't work. I detailed it out. Either way you look at it, good luck with that.
Yeah.
To assume that Canada is immune is naive and dangerous. The Ottawa convoy and its offspring.
The Ottawa convoy and its offspring.
Yeah, have told us anything at all.
All the other mini convoys running around.
Yeah.
Convoying up.
I wish there was. I wish we lived in his head. If reality was actually reflected in his head, I wouldn't have a problem. We wouldn't have this podcast. We'd be like, everything's fine. Yeah. Its offspring have told us that as anything at all.
Damn Christians.
It's the power of the lie, and the lie given substantial backing from ultra-evangelical churches and groups across the country. Yeah, those ultra-evangelical churches with all the power in the country.
Yep.
Just making policy.
Hey, there's like 8 that haven't burned down, all right?
Right. Because they're in the malls, so.
There's collateral damage.
You got to wait for BLM to do that. Nothing, alas, new about the abuse and horrors committed in the name of the church. Every church, and for that matter, every religion, and pretty much every cause and creed, that's human nature. That's human brokenness. Perhaps that's even our original sin. Again, so no.
Church is original sin.
And also, perhaps that's even original sin. What do you mean, perhaps? Are you a priest or not? Do you understand this shit or not? That'd be like a math teacher going, perhaps 2 and 2 equals 4. Perhaps
I could say there's a possibility of perhaps arithmetic being a
perhaps multiplication tables actually multiply things. Perhaps. I mean, who's to say? You know, it's open to debate. Fuck you. Sorry.
Okay, Lord. just a heads up. I am in excruciating amounts of pain.
Right now. So am I. I'm right here with you. We're doing this together. We're almost there.
Fuck you, man.
We're almost there. We're gonna take our time.
But it will get. It comes in cycles, right? Like, it will subside at some point. I'm waiting for that sweet relief.
Mike
can't be a Zionist and a Christian.
No.
Get in trouble.
No. You can't. This is true. You're not wrong. But in the Orthodox perspective, Christians, Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. He fulfilled the Mosaic law
according to Christ.
So he didn't reform it. He fulfilled.
He closed it.
So Jew in the Christian worldview, in the Orthodox worldview, the Orthodox Christians are the continuation of Judaism. Mm-hmm. So there is no Jews left. Traditional Jews, they were given a pathway to accept the revelation and become Christian, which is the ultimate, or the way, which is the fulfillment of Judaism. Those Jews who remain Jews are a different.
Well, it's either if Christianity is the concept that Christ was the Messiah, it's not complicated. It's either
Mike says that he was making a crude Holocaust joke.
Go back. I forgot. I have to reread it now.
I
can't see. I don't get
it. Can't be Zionist and Christian. The wooden doors open to the inside. Yes. Okay.
God damn it. I've been missing the whole chat. Sorry, everyone. I was in private chat the whole time.
It's a cedar box. It's like smoked like salmon. That's where you get the smoked salmon thing. That's why Jews love smoked salmon. Because
is that why?
1940s Germany. Okay.
Mike's saying cue the song. I think he's right. Okay. Go.
But
you know, as many viewers are like, yeah, okay, you guys are done.
Where's the song? I got it. Okay. But since the Second World War, there's been a joyous revision and reinvestigation into the authentic teachings of Christ. Fuck you. It seemed like there was a consensus among thinking people that the central message of the Gospels, love God and love others as yourself, should lead invincibly to a philosophy that was progressive and enlightened, a permanent revolution of love.
Jesus was a communist.
The idea that God...
Oh, sorry. I got to cut you off because I was saying this before and we got distracted. I didn't finish it. Was arguing with someone on Twitter and they pulled this bullshit. Well, the number one commandment of Christianity is to love everyone. And I had to quote the Bible back to her. It's not. It's to love God.
Yeah.
That's the number one commandment. It's a very different thing than loving people.
Well, it's
people follows... That.
One of the commandments is to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah, but it's not the first one.
But the idea there's a distinction between mortal love and divine love, mm-hmm. and this is where energy and essence is, and this is
there's agape and eros. Sorry,
but it's not that. But this is why orthodoxy is so important. And when you encounter it, and when you actually start dealing with it philosophically and authentically, you understand that it solves all your problems with Christianity, right? If you come in with these things like I don't believe this and that, orthodoxy solves all this, and it's amazing that it's not discussed, because energies and essences essentially solves that problem for you, where you're not expected to love like God because you can't.
Right.
What you're expected to do is to love. How do I say this? Like, you cannot love in the same way God loves, but you can love like God loves. You can try to.
Yeah, it's the imperfect striving, which is the human condition.
Right. Which is you're trying to. You're trying to interact with the energy of love, right? With God's love in the world. And one of those, and there's multiple ways of doing that, but it's not perfect because you're mortal. You're fallible and you're sinful, and you have to deal with that first. So this whole thing where you go, well, it's just about love. It's like, okay, what define love then? Define moral love. Go ahead, because you're making a metaphysical claim. You must have a metaphysical answer. Define mortal love for humanity. Because this whole diatribe where he's detailing in negative terms a whole bunch of people. Would be anti-love,
right? Well, it's the what do they call that?
He fails at
the tolerance, the thing of tolerance.
This is the mind-numbingly stupid thing is that you look at this thing and go, you're failing by your own presentation. You're giving me these ideas. This is why Catholicism and Anglicanism and a lot of these and Protestantism in general is an atheist factory because they're presenting these things and go, well, it's just this, and you go, yes, but you fail at your own examples. And you have no, right. And you have no response. So why do you fail, asshole?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, sorry, it's the paradox of tolerance.
Well, yeah, and you can't tolerate those who have antithetical beliefs than you. So right. That's not love, is it? You're actually detailing these hateful people as hateful people. Therefore, you can't embrace them in loving embrace. So you're failing at your own message. My frustration is because I got to pee, but my frustration is
you were frustrated before that. You were pre-pee frustrated.
My frustration with a lot of these things is going back to my own personal story where,
oh God, man, killing me. Sorry.
Go. I want to go pee. Come back. We'll finish this up. We're almost there.
We'll get there.
In my own personal story, it's like, is that I was led astray for many, many years because I wasn't taught the idea of that God's love includes suffering.
Right.
And without that understanding,
then when you encounter true deal suffering, you have no context for it. And in fact, the idea that God is all loving, all knowing, all you know, all these things, and then you have suffering, well, those two things don't mix. And there seems to be a conflict there. How does God have love? What is God's love in a world with sin? And you can't square that fact without orthodoxy. You just can't. You will follow that mental. And trust me, I did it for many years, for 32 years. It was one of the big things in my mind. Mm-hmm. And you can chase it down the rabbit, all the rabbit holes, and you keep coming up to cul-de-sacs, because it's like eventually you go, whoa, we're in love. It's like, but you don't love. Like, this guy doesn't love. Love a Nazi. Go ahead. I would if I saw this guy I would say, go love a Nazi then. Can you say you love Hitler? Oh, you can't. Oh, why not?
Okay, Kanye.
Okay, hang on.
Gentlemen, time to like, subscribe, and share. So that's what we do here at the 2-Bit Podcast.
I could continue on.
Before the music runs out, go.
Hang on. William, socialism is the economic realization of the Christian gospel. He's basically just getting down to, he wants to sell socialism as Christian. Fuck them.
That makes
perfect sense. Fuck Anglicans. Not saying you should burn churches down, but if you're the type of person who burns churches down, and you have a choice.
Jason, it's been good. Nice to be back.
Thanks, brother.
I don't know if we have another Friday night show before our next friend are fed, but we do.
We have one more.
Yeah, okay.
We might get a guest on. We'll see.
And we might even do some prep for that one.
Who knows? Yeah, so August 11th is going to be RFK, friend or fed, with JF, and Colin from Counterpoints, and LB Muniz, and you and me. It'll be fun.
Beautiful. All right, let's get out of here. We got to go pee. We'll let the music play us out. I'm just going to mention briefly, and you cannot comment on it. The reason I sent you that article, because I did the early life.
What?
Wiki. Early life.
Oh, this guy. Oh. Whatever. Anglicans. Don't care. What was he trans?
Probably.
Bye, guys.